Well, welcome back, fellow biblical explorers. We are continuing our study on the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus and the believers there. We are discovering for ourselves many of the riches of his grace. Well, in our last number of studies together, we've been looking at that beautiful subject of love. And Paul has showed us already that we are to be rooted and grounded in love in chapter 3. He prayed that we speak the truth in love in chapter 4. But he also prayed that we would function within the Christian community to the end that it would be built up in love, also in chapter 4. In chapter 4, Paul also tells us that our lives should reflect and that we should demonstrate the love of God. A love that is self-giving, asks nothing in return, and it's all for the well-being of the person being loved. Now we find ourselves in chapter 5, and so far in the first couple of verses, we've looked at the pattern of love. Then we looked at the perversion of love. We looked at the penalty of that perversion. But now, we're going to look at walking in the light. This study today of walking in the light is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. Let's read it together. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, starting to read at verse 8 to verse 14. It says this from the New International Version. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The contrast of light and darkness representing good and evil is seen very often throughout the New Testament. Just listen to the words from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 from the New International Version. It says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now listen to John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now listen to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. This is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. My friends, I want to continue on to verse 9 there. It's one of my favorite verses of the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Paul has instructed the believers in Ephesus to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. Verse 2. It's clear that Paul did not consider love to be weak or silly, emotional, characterized by impulsive actions. Love needs to be directed by a clear mind and backed up by a firm decision to follow Christ. So here we see him expanding on his earlier instructions to live a life of love in Ephesians 5 and 2 to include, live as children of light, now in verse 8. Just listen to the words of Paul as he writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to chapter 7, verse 1. From the NIV it says this, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. This passage of Scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to chapter 7, verse 1, parallels what we've just been reading in Ephesians chapter 5. The passage explains the contrasts that exist between the child of God and the unsaved person. The light produces goodness, one manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness is love in action. Now, I may date myself when I talk about the group DC Talk, but they had a song that said, love, love is a verb. Well, that's true. Love is a verb, and goodness, well, that's love in action. Righteousness means rightness of character before God and rightness of actions before men. Both of these qualities are based on truth, which is conformity to the word and will of God. So, fellow biblical explorer, to walk as a child of light means to live before the eyes of God, not hiding anything. It is relatively easy to hide things from other people because they cannot see our hearts and minds. But you can't hide your heart from an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. By walking as children of light, it also means revealing God's light in our daily lives by our character and our conduct. And we go back to walking the talk, and we bring God's light into a dark world when we do so. As we walk in the light of God and as we live our lives as children of the light, we can help others find their way to Christ. The mind of the unsaved person is blinded by Satan and then kept in the dark by sin. And only as we witness and share Christ by living as children of the light can that light be shared with others and enter into their hearts. The light of God reveals truth, but it also exposes the true character of things. That's why a lot of people in today's society stay clear of the church and the Bible. God's light reveals true character, and that exposure is not very complimentary. I am the light of the world, said Jesus in John 12 and 46, and he also said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world, in Matthew 5 and 14. When he was here on earth, the perfection of his character and conduct exposed the sinfulness of those around him. That's one of the reasons why the religious leaders of the day hated him so much and they sought to destroy him. Paul tells us to walk in the light and to expose the wickedness of those in the darkness. It's not enough simply to expose the deeds of darkness. We must also bear fruit, and sometimes by bearing fruit in our own lives when we walk in the light of Him who saved us, that is enough to point people in the right direction. When these people see the sin in their own lives exposed by the light that we share, then they are drawn to God. The believer has no business staying in the darkness. That person is a saint, which means that person is a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. That person, that believer, is royalty, a king and a queen, because they've been delivered from the power of darkness and has been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And that believer, well, that believer is the light in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Well, my friends, you talk about the riches of His grace, there you have some of them right there. Hallelujah. Well, my fellow biblical explorers, some of you may already know that I'm a little bit of a green thumb. I love gardening and putting my veggies out every year. This year I've planted peppers and tomatoes and some squash and zucchini. I started them out right from seeds under my little grow lamps. In doing so, I've come to realize that the relation in the physical world between light and growth is very much the same in the spiritual world. We compare the bearing of fruit in our own spiritual life by being illuminated by the light of God. Just listen to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We can sing in the Salvation Army the song, I am not under law, but under grace. And here we find some of the riches of God's grace in Galatians, in the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we go back now to Ephesians chapter 5. We look at verse 10. And we got to find out what pleases the Lord here. We can parallel this to what we've just read in Galatians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit, I believe that pleases God. When you look at Ephesians chapter 5, you look at verse 8. And then verse 10. Then you pop back to verse 8. Then you go to verse 10 again. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 8, you live as children of the light. That's what pleases the Lord. You can closely relate that to what we read in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's how we live as children of the light. That pleases the Lord. Praise God for the riches of His grace.